What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for What is that? This is Tuesday. Wednesday.
October 16th. Watch your flying star, Imran.
I know. I forgot to change the... I changed the date, but not the actual day name in this. Wednesday, October 16th, 2019. I'm your host, Imran Khan. Joining me today is the Mr. Universe of video gaming, Gary Whitta.
Mr. Universe of video gaming? Where did you get that one from?
Because I was thinking about last time when we hosted, and you became the first male titty streamer for Twitch.
Oh, God. Was that the last... That feels like a lifetime ago.
That was like 3 weeks ago, I think. Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Also, Sirens are on our end. Yeah. But you, that make, I feel like that would make you Mr. Universe of video gaming right there.
I suppose. I can't do like the pec pumping thing. Yeah.
Have you tried?
I've never tried. Have you?
yeah. Nick does it all the time, so he makes everyone.
Nick's actually in good shape.
No, but I'm saying like when he does it, everyone gives it a try.
Oh, well, no, it's embarrassing.
A lot of sirens on our end. Sorry about that.
We took my kid to see this. She really likes this science podcast. It's called Wow in the World. It's like a science podcast for kids.
Right.
Oh. She loves it. And they had a live version of it on stage that you could go see. And we took her to see it. And one of the interesting science facts they pointed out is that it's impossible to lick your own elbow. And the other science fact they pointed out is that when you point that out, lots of people will immediately try to do it, as you just did.
I didn't try.
And
I looked.
Watching,
I was like,
as people are listening and watching at home right now, I guarantee you, some of you are trying to lick your own elbow as we speak, and none of you will succeed.
I feel like there's one person who's like, "Yeah, I could do it."
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like maybe a contortionist. I don't think even a contortionist.
It's just too far away, and there's no way.
I don't think even like Gene Simmons could do it.
And he's got a really long tongue.
And he's got. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you immediately tried it.
I looked and I was like, I was like, okay, what is the reasonable way I could do this? But
you look like a character from Beetlejuice in that jacket, by the way.
I do.
You are just drowning in that jacket. You know you look like Dave. You know, remember David Byrne in the Talking Heads video where he's wearing the ridiculously large jacket?
Yes.
That's what you look like.
I appreciate it. And like, I thought yesterday I was going to be off the hook because I went into the studio and I couldn't find it in the back room. And it was like, it just wasn't there. And I come back in here. And like, oh, Greg just left it out here for me to put on.
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah, it's. I mean, it still works.
At this point, I'm committed. Like, yeah, I've got to be into like wear it every day.
All right. Oh, so, by the way, Kevin, don't say the thing that we talked about, right? Or do? Which one was it again? Don't say it.
Don't.
Okay. All right. I won't. Okay.
Security concerns.
I'm glad you brought it up, though.
Okay.
You gotta get.
I just want to make sure I don't get it wrong. Don't say it. Okay.
You gotta get the messaging correct.
All right. Okay.
I hate you so much.
This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where we run you through all the nerdy video game news that's fit to listen to. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, or silver members or above get to the show ad-free. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later by searching Kinda Funny Games Daily on podcast services around the globe. Today's stories include Riot Games makes good on the plural part of their name, The Outer Wilds is only enhanced for Microsoft's console, and Vampire the Masquerade gets hit with a delay. But before we get all that, let's get a little bit of housekeeping. This weekend, Kinda Funny is taking Toronto. EGLX is Saturday and Sunday. You can check it out at kindoffunny.com/events. But listen to the schedule right here. At Saturday at 12:30 p.m., there will be an autograph session. Saturday at 7:30 p.m., there will be the Smash Brothers Royal Rumble on the main stage. And Sunday at 11 a.m., there's the Kinda Funny panel on that same main stage. Hopefully, they cleaned it before the 2 days.
What is EGLX?
I don't know offhand. Kevin, do you know?
I think some Canadian thing.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of Canadian stuff lately, aren't they?
You know how it is, man.
Kinda Funny is going north.
I believe Jen. It's 100% Jen.
100%.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's the Jen influence.
Yeah. It's like, what about Canada a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an easy thing to sneak in there. Speaking of sneaking in there, Extra Life is Saturday, November 2nd. 24 hours of games for charity. Join us now at kindoffunny.com/extralife or watch on the actual day. If you've never seen Extra Life, it is us being awake for 24 hours in an attempt to
raise money
for charity. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to be able to pull off the full 24 hours.
No, don't try to do that. Yeah. Just do a little pop in. Do a segment. If you're smart, just
I will try and stick around for as long as possible, but I think I am going to like find a place in here to sleep.
It's a fun time. We usually have an inflatable mattress in the back room set up for anyone that wants to sleep that is trying to do the full
time. What are the mattress share rules? Like, if someone's already in there, do you plop on next to them?
I mean, that is all per conversation.
Yeah, I think that's to be... figure that out amongst yourselves.
Like, if Tim Geddes is there, I feel like I'm allowed to pop on.
If Tim Geddes is on the mattress, I'm definitely popping on there. Maybe a little... But do you think Tim would prefer to be the big spoon or the little spoon?
I know for a fact that he wants to be the knife that's set aside. You know? Just on his own.
Mm. So why do you know that for a fact?
To that spooning?
I mean, he might do it for you. Certainly he'll fight me off.
The thing is, when he's asleep, he can't really say anything, so...
Now we're getting into a dodgy area.
Not
for everyone, just for Tim Geddes.
Okay, sure.
So thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad Muhammad. Today we're brought to you by Brooklyn and Manscaped and Escape the Invasion, but I'll tell you about those later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news! We got three stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
So last night, Riot Games, the creators of League of Legends, announced a bunch of games.
Yeah, I saw some of this news.
So we're going to go break down everything from a Eurogamer story by Imogen Beckling. League of Legends just celebrated its 10-year anniversary, and Riot Games took the opportunity to announce a bunch of new games and projects in the pipeline.
Did they actually have some kind of event, or did they just blurt this all out online?
I believe it was a live stream.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So they showed like a little couple of trailers and stuff like that, and I believe like their executives were on there. But
it was like a Nintendo Direct kind of thing, but for Riot?
I think. I didn't actually watch it live, so I'm not positive. But
okay.
I do believe it was live streamed. You go to kindoffunny.com, unless you're wrong, to let us know. But I don't think it was just like, here's some Twitter posts of various clips. For starters, the developer revealed it was branching out into the world of world of strategy card games with Legends of Runeterra. It will be free to play and feature cards based off notable League of Legends characters as well as new characters from the titular region. Runeterra will have both free and paid ways to get cards. There are no surprise mechanics in this one, however, as players will be able to buy any card they want with currency they've bought or earned in game. It launched in 2020 for both PC and mobile. It is now open for pre-registration. Next up, we've got Arcane, animated series based off League of Legends, developed and produced by Riot Games, releasing in 2020. It follows the story of two LOL champions League of Legends fans, I'm sorry for getting the pronunciations wrong.
I think you nailed it.
In Piltover, in the oppressed underground of Zaun. Though we don't know exactly who the main characters will be, the trailer seems to have appearances from both Jinx and V, so it's possible they would be pretty central to the plot.
I wonder how they're going to distribute that show.
That's a good point. Like,
they could put it out on their own thing, or they could team up with, you know.
Yeah, maybe like they should get in contact with us.
They haven't announced that.
Yeah,
I mean, they can just again put it out through their own. They could own channels.
Netflix, I feel like, is the better bet. But maybe that's me being a media traditionalist. But they could just put it on the YouTube channel.
I mean, my guess is that they have fully financed it themselves, so they don't need a partner.
This is Riot, who has at one point been talking about making their own internet. Like, they have the money to make
just
a TV
like
show.
Just like in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Just probably less comedic and more fart jokes, I guess.
Hopefully more successful, yeah.
The Teamfight Tactics, Riot's answer to the auto chess craze, is coming to mobile early next year. Pre-registration is on the Google Play Store and goes live on October 16th, which is today. The developer also revealed his plan to release new sets of champions and abilities every 3 to 4 months for both the PC and mobile versions. The next set launches on PC on the 5th of November. Named Rise of the Elements, the update will feature content based around, you guessed it, the Elementals. League of Legends Wild Rift is a redesigned 5v5 MOBA coming to Android, iOS, and consoles. It features a lot of the same gameplay as League of Legends on PC, but has been completely rebuilt from the ground up to make a more polished experience for players on other platforms. Wild Rift launches on mobile sometime in 2020, and pre-registration is open now in the Google Play Store for this one, too. Now, for some of the more interesting choices are games they announced yesterday. Riot has announced that it will be making its very own competitive shooter, codenamed Project A. It will be a tactical, character-based game set in a near-future Earth. And each character will have unique abilities to help them in combat. That's about all we know so far, but more details will be revealed next year. There's a few other bits and pieces to round up, too. Project L, a fighting game set in the League of Legends universe, is in early stages of development. Project F, a very early development project about a potential multiplayer experience involving Runeterra. League of Legends Origins, a feature-length documentary on League of Legends community. And League of Legends Esports Manager, a team management game that will launch the LOL Pro League next year. So, Gary, does any of this leap out to you?
Does any of it what?
Leap out at you. Like, this is a thing I'm interested in.
No. I mean, me personally, no, because I don't play League of Legends. It's not an area of interest for me. But, I mean, maybe the shooter will be good. I mean, you know, yeah. I might play that if it's interesting. I mean, this, just as in my position here as a commentator, as an analyst, observer, whatever you want to call it, I think this is a move that seems like it makes a lot of sense. You know, Riot Games, you know, as we said in the headline, it's been Riot Game up until this point, right? And even though they could probably continue to operate very, very profitably off simply League of Legends for years to come, it makes sense, I think, to diversify and spread out and do different things. What if League of Legends goes off the boil one day? I mean, it's hard to see it happening, but nothing lasts forever. It makes sense for them to diversify and do... I imagine it's much more interesting for people at the company to be working on more than just the same game over and over. That can probably get boring. They want to branch out. They have different ideas, want to try new things. I think Riot Games seems to be here now positioning themselves as more... of a fully rounded competitor to someone like Valve or Blizzard, you know, where they have fingers in lots of different pies. If you look, I mean, Valve and Blizzard, Valve has its tactical shooters, it has, you know, Counter-Strike and Team Fortress, it has its card game, I guess it still has a card game. And of course it has its its Dota game and Teamfight Tactics.
Dota Underlords.
Right. Teamfight Tactics is the Riot version. And Blizzard, obviously, Blizzard have their very popular card game. They have their tactical shooter. They have their, you know, they have more stuff.
Right.
And so it makes sense, I think, for Riot to be a company that has more stuff.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like they looked at what those companies were doing. Like, in my mind, the first one is Blizzard, but you're correct, Valve is also one of the ones they're looking at with these games, going, well, we can just do our own shooter with our own characters, and, like, let's see how that goes.
Right.
Our own fighting game, because they bought a developer for that specifically, and they haven't done anything for the last couple of years, so it's surprising it's still that early.
Yeah, and with League of Legends, they have a tremendously potent and popular platform, right? Yeah. People really like League of Legends. They really like those characters. They really like the lore. And so it makes sense to break these things out. It's interesting that the shooting game sounds like it's going to be something completely different. That's not a League of Legends shooter. They're talking about League of Legends fighting game and other things. But I like the idea. Again, Valve doesn't have just one universe, right? Yeah. Blizzard doesn't have just one universe.
Yeah, Overwatch is not a Warcraft or Starcraft game. It's
right,
Overwatch.
Overwatch is its own thing. Yeah. And so I think it makes sense for Riot to diversify, not just in terms of the genres of games that they're developing, but the worlds that they're developing. They're not putting all their chips in one stack. Again, even though League of Legends is a very stable stack of chips and it's going to continue to make money for a long time to come.
Yeah.
Diversify, spread out, try different things. They've got more money than God. Try, you know, use it, spend it, do some new stuff. And so I think this is good.
I will say, one of the things that as I was learning about all, like, look at these game reveals and, like, these look super cool, that fighting game looks interesting, of the brief clip we got of it, the thing that kind of stuck in my mind is all this stuff is going on with Blizzard right now.
Yeah.
Riot's also kind of doing the same thing. They haven't rescinded prizes or anything like that. They just told their players, we're not going to tolerate if anyone does this. Like,
yeah, they made kind of a mealy-mouthed word salad statement about let's keep it focused on the game, right? Yeah. Which is their way of saying, like, don't step out of line.
Yeah.
We're going to advocate free speech. We don't like that.
We will punish you, but just try not to get punished.
Right. Right.
Which, like, I can't be angry at Blizzard at the same time and be, like, forgiving of Riot and excited about Riot.
But Riot have just indicated, they did kind of the bullshit LeBron thing where they kind of went, ooh, you know, let's be careful here. Let's not jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to me is capitulation anyway.
But they've also been kind of a shitty company for a while.
They've had a lot of problems with, you know, harassment and stuff like that. You know, Riot is definitely a company with a with a kind of a mixed bag image. Mm-hmm. But again, what we talked about the other day, I don't want to get too off track here because we're supposed to be talking about Riot's, you know, new right. games. But when I was last on the show talking about Blizzard, and like the situation with Blizzard's only gotten way worse since I was here a week, like it's gotten worse. I think there's a chance that I don't think they will, but I wouldn't rule it out that they cancel BlizzCon. Because I think they're looking at BlizzCon and thinking this is going to be a shit show. I think that's a topic for another day. I think that Riot, having seen what has happened to Blizzard, must surely now view that as a cautionary tale. Like, let's not fuck up the way they just did. Because mm-hmm. we see now just how badly this can blow back. And people are now so pent up over the Blizzard thing. They're just waiting for someone else to fuck right. up.
And Riot is primed to fuck up because they are majority owned by Tencent.
100% owned.
Yeah. So if Tencent did want to exercise control, they would have more control over Riot than they would, say, Epic Games. Yes. Or like there.
Yes.
But that is a concern for me, but at the same time, like, the games do look cool. I'm just not immediately forgiven.
Again, I'm not a League of Legends guy, but, you know, Riot obviously are a company, you know, everything else aside, mm-hmm. are good at making, I was going to say good at making games, but they're good at making a game.
Yes.
Let's see if they're also good at making games.
They're very good at making those characters popular for the, like, because there was that people who don't even play video games saw that one, like, K-pop League of Legends music video.
Right.
And they were linking me to it, like, have you seen this thing? It's cool.
They make terrific cinematics. They've got, like I said, they've got infinite money. They've got a very, very large team over there. Again, I think from a business perspective, it makes total sense. And from a creative perspective, it makes total sense to kind of spread their wings a little bit and try different things. They've got the resources. Like I said, it's probably, I imagine after a while it gets a bit boring just being a one game company.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense to try new things. Yeah. So I like I said, the fighting game is probably not going to be for me. The shooter might be. I mean, I don't play it anymore, but I liked Overwatch for a while. I like mm-hmm. Team Fortress is one of my all time favorite games. So let's see what they do.
Speaking of the shooter, BJ Bernardo wrote in to ask, hey y'all, what can Riot Games do differently to separate Project A from the very crowded first-person online shooter scene? If you've played LOL, what unique mechanics could they bring over? Thanks, BJ.
Well, so let's just establish again, it's not an LOL-based shooter. It's a different universe.
Well, it's not right now. Who knows what the future could bring? Like, they could make it an LOL-based shooter.
It doesn't appear. It seems to be kind of set more like contemporary Earthbound kind of thing.
It struck me more Counter-Strike-like than anything else, but
yeah. I don't know. Do you think that they would need to do something radically different to carve out a bit of that space?
I mean,
or can they just do their version of what everyone else does? Here's another class based shooter like Apex, like Overwatch, like Team Fortress 2.
I think that's a good way to get attention for a month, but I think if you're trying to do something long term, you need to at least have something compelling, a compelling hook there.
There's just so much competition in that space. It's a very crowded space.
Like, they have the money to push it into people's lives. Like, it's a question of, like, what could that hook be? And it's an impossible question to answer, because if I knew that, I would be working for Riot and doing the game design for them.
Right.
But I do think there are things with the first-person shooter genre, with the competitive genre, with the Counter-Strike likes and the Overwatch likes and all that, that have not been tapped quite yet. And if they wanted to bring a more MOBA-like mentality into it, it's not specifically a LOL shooter, but if they wanted to try that, it might catch on. Like, if you told me a year and a half before Fortnite came out, before PUBG, all that, that Battle Royale is going to be the next big thing, the first Battle Royale will catch on, the second Battle Royale, which is a cartoony thing split off from something else, would take the world by storm, then I would be like, no, that's insane. That would never happen. Like, people like their Call of Duties way too much. But it turns out that if you want to expand the industry with a newly thought out idea,
yeah, you never know what's around the corner. I, for a long time, have said that, you know, the first person shooter genre is very stale, and mm-hmm. it's so mature, and it's so locked in its ways. You know, there's deathmatch, there's capture the flag, there's, you know, the checkpoints, different kinds of things. We've been playing it's like where's the new thing coming from? And then Battle Royale came along and totally reinvented the space and turned the industry on its head. Now everyone obviously is trying to do their version of Battle Royale. The question is, what is the next? I don't think Riot is going to be satisfied saying, well, here's our entry into the Battle Royale space. I think they want to come up with whatever the next Battle Royale is going to be, like the next big and now we're gonna turn the industry on its head again. Whether they think that's necessary or whether they think they can just rest on that and say, hey, the hook is it's the Riot version of the game. Like you love Riot, right?
That would kind of suck.
Yeah, that would not be kind of lazy, I think. But you never know.
Yeah, maybe they do have something like. I feel like they would not go ahead with this game if they didn't have something compelling to make
it
sell.
Well, I mean, look, okay, so let's use Overwatch as an example. Overwatch came into that space and dominated, right? Overwatch is a very, very successful, popular game.
Right.
But what did it really bring that wasn't already there in terms of Team Fortress 2 and Counter-Strike and other, you know, particularly, I mean, for me, Overwatch really just very much was Team Fortress 2. Here's a class-based shooter with a bunch of different map styles and things to do. They just, you know, I think what they did was they just iterated and improved on an existing theme. They didn't reinvent the wheel.
Right.
They, you know, here's Team Fortress, you've got like 6 or 7 different classes. Overwatch, well, here's 30. And somehow we've managed to all balance them and make it work. It was basically an evolution of an existing theme rather than, but what sold it was the Blizzard version. So all of the
Blizzard personality,
polish and all of the high end stuff that you expect, top quality game design, top quality production values, top quality support on the back end, and the esports infrastructure was there. Like they really went all out to make it Blizzardy, and that was enough.
I would argue that one of Overwatch's best virtues is that it was so much more accessible for, like, the average player. If you're not someone who's big into first-person shooters, you could go in with a character and, like, it would show you their three things.
Right.
And then you could just aim the cursor over them and hit mouse one or whatever. And that gave you an instant leap into that game, and you were able to figure things out very quickly from then on. If what League of Legends wants to do is take an existing template, let's say Counter-Strike, let's say the team-based shooter where you buy things at the beginning of a round and all that jazz, and then make it more accessible for the average person, like not just people who are, playing hardcore first-person shooters or whatever. Counter-Strike is huge, but it can always expand. I think not only will that succeed better, but I think it would succeed great in China, which I think is part of, like, Riot's overall gaming plan with all these games.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point because I think like one of the problems that I have with Overwatch is that I feel like I was playing Overwatch since it first came out, and I understand the mechanics of team-based shooters, so I've got no problem with it. I wonder how accessible a game like Overwatch is at this point to like a total noob coming in. But if I jumped into Overwatch for the first time today, not knowing much about the mechanics of class-based shooters, I would be completely overwhelmed by it.
No,
here's a guy with a shield. This guy's got this thing, and like, there's so much to know. It used to be Quake, just run around, shoot each other, pick up some stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's almost like a game of real time chess with so many different players that are kind of countering and countering each other's special abilities and stuff.
Well, that's kind of the problem.
Extremely tactical, and there's a lot to learn.
That's kind of the problem with games as a service in general, is if you've been out of the loop for so long, it's the people who remain are people who are good at it.
Yeah.
So, like, I am afraid, granted, I'm not playing Overwatch right now because, like, it bums me out just to play it.
Yeah.
But if I left back in, it would probably be about a year. I think Bridgie was the last character, like, that came out when I last played.
Yeah.
It would be a long time since I played, and I'm worried that like I will be left behind. I will see a character.
Yeah,
like, no, I don't
I agree.
Know.
It's kind of like a soap opera. I used to watch soap operas back then. I don't watch them so much anymore, but I used to. Mm-hmm. And then like, if you stop watching them for a bit, and then you come back after a few months, you're like, wait, who's this fucking guy? Like the story's moved on, and you've got to catch up. And Overwatch is kind of like that. I used to be pretty decent at Overwatch. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say decent, but like mediocre at best. I wasn't so bad that I didn't enjoy playing it.
Right.
I could get by. And when you play with friends, it's really great. But I haven't played. There's probably been like half a dozen new characters introduced since I last played on the regular. And so and those new characters fundamentally alter the dynamics of the game. And so if I were to start playing now, I'd be completely lost all over again. I would have to play catch up in terms of, oh, this guy's got this kind of thing and he's got this ability. I have to learn all this new stuff. So I actually think something like Overwatch, as much as Blizzard, how we got derailed into talking about this, I don't know. Well, I guess we're talking about Riot's shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to bring it back to that, I would love it if Riot could make it as noob friendly as possible. Right. Because honestly, if they're looking to bring new people in, and obviously all of their massive existing Riot Games fan base will come over, and that's a great advantage that they have, the same way that Blizzard and Valve have that. If they bring out something new, they know that people will flock to it, Artifact notwithstanding. For the most part, people will at least try it.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially if it's free.
But beyond, I don't think you can just rely on your existing hardcore fan base. Again, I look at something like Overwatch, and I think a new player would find that completely overwhelming. Mm. And I think the opportunity would be, let's do a game that is noob-friendly. Still, you know, still has enough tactical sophistication in it that high-end people and esports guys can really, you know, have something to get their teeth into, but make it easy to do for new players as well.
Yeah, you want a step ladder and you want an actual ladder at some point.
Yeah.
Which hopefully they're able to do, but let's move on a little bit from Riot to Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 has been delayed by months. This is from IGN by Matt Perslow. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 has been delayed from its original Q1 2020 launch window. It will now release later in the year. Announced by developer Hardsuit Labs CEO Andy Kipling and Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 1 and 2 scribe Brian Mitsoda, the delay was detailed in a blog post on the Vampire website today. Today, we have to tell you that we need some time to get you the game you've been waiting for, the post says. Although Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 will still launch in 2020, we decided to value quality over making the Q1 launch window. The post notes that the extra time will ensure that the game lives up to the legacy of the original Bloodlines game. This includes branching storylines and both character and world building. Also a nod to the original game's infamous buggy state. That there's a responsibility to avoid some of the issues that plagued the first game. It was famously launched too early, explains the post. Hardsuit Labs hasn't detailed how many months Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 will be delayed by, but promises more details at PDXCon on Saturday, October 21st. There will also be a Reddit AMA held the following Sunday to answer fan questions. Were you a big fan of the first game, Gary?
No. Well, I never played it, so really? I have no dog in this fight.
I figure like an old school PC gamer like you would be like super into Vampire the Masquerade.
No, I'm not really into the vampire gothy thing. It's it's not for me. I understand that this is a very popular game with many people. It's not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting though that they're able to like say, "Hey, we know the last game was buggy and that was like 20 years ago at this point."
I imagine there will be some people out there who have been eagerly anticipating this game who'll be disappointed to learn that they have to wait a little bit longer.
Right.
But I think I don't look at these as negative stories. I look at these as positive stories. Their developers are learning from their past mistakes, taking the time to get things right. You know, it's not like, we have to wait a bit longer, but just keep on living your life, play other games. Don't worry about it. You've got other things to do. It's not like waiting for a bus where you're just stuck there. There's nothing for you to do. You just have to wait for the bus. Just get on with your life. Go live your life, play other games, do other things. The game will come out when it's ready.
Right. I've always been like, as somebody who watches the internet reaction to things, I've always been interested to see how people react to a game that is made by developers and publishers and whatever and delayed a little bit, and a game that is crowdfunded and then delayed. Because a game that's crowdfunded and delayed gets so many more people, whether they crowdfunded it or not.
There's a greater sense of entitlement
with
the crowdfunded games.
But this, like, people are like, they gave their reasoning. Was that Kevin?
I was just gonna say, with the crowdfunded games, I feel like it's like usually people have bought the game, you know, and like now they're expecting it to hit a certain date. Where I don't think that the people being like upset is totally like unacceptable.
Right. No, I agree that people.
I feel like they're entitled for a reason because they paid for it.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's fine. In a typical case like this though, where people just have to wait a little bit longer to spend money on the game. So what?
Yeah,
true. It depends on how people voice their upset. Like, if you've crowdfunded a game, like, let's say I crowdfunded Bloodstained. That game took a long time to come out. I crowdfunded it 2014, 2015.
Oh, wow.
And
it only just came out.
It only just came out, and it wasn't in a great shape when it did come out. But, like, people, every time that game got delayed, I looked at the comments for it. And it was people being like, how dare you? Like, there's no way a 2D game takes this long to come out. It's a lot of people misunderstanding how game development works. But when it's an easier thing to say this sort of thing of like, we want to make sure the game is better. We don't want to give you shit.
Yeah, and the people that delay the Kickstarter games would make the same argument. There's just a greater sense of, I don't even mean entitlement in necessarily a bad way. I think it's legitimate entitlement. If they've already taken your money, then there's more of a reason to get a bit annoyed when the game is being delayed. If they've already cashed the check, I can understand why you'd be more irritated the game is taken forever. Don't forget, a lot of these Kickstarter games, they just don't come out at all. They get delayed, yeah. delayed, and then the next update is, oh, sorry, it's cancelled. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll get your money back, maybe you won't.
I spent a long time trying to find the people responsible for Mighty No. 9's 3DS and PSP, or Vita versions, and I just can't find them. They've never officially cancelled those versions, and the company that was developing the game got bought by Level 5. The company that's publishing the game just doesn't want to talk about it.
I think you have to understand that when you back a Kickstarter, there are all I think almost all Kickstarters are a little bit shady, don't yeah. you? It's like, you know, you Kickstarter is mature enough now, and we've seen enough Kickstarter projects go south that just caveat emptor, right? Like, mm-hmm. you've seen, if you really want to back it, back it. But understand that you're taking on a little bit of a risk that this could be a scam, it could be a bunch of people that don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
You just don't know. And if you get burned, you know, you just at least know that you went in with your eyes open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go into a Kickstarter, know that you're just paying for the development of a thing. You're not necessarily paying for the end result of the product, which is shitty, but that's kind of the way it works. Anyway, moving on. The Outer Worlds will only be enhanced for Xbox One X, not PS4 Pro. GameSpot by Jordan Remy. As writing the story, publisher Private Division has announced that developer Obsidian Entertainment's upcoming game, The Outer Worlds, will only be enhanced on Xbox One X. It's a surprising move given that most games available on Xbox One X and PS4 Pro are enhanced on both consoles. In a statement to Windows Central, a Private Division spokesperson said that The Outer Worlds will only support 4K resolution on Xbox One, no enhancements for PS4 Pro. That means you will be able to play The Outer Worlds in 4K on Xbox One X and PC, with the PS4 Pro capping at 1080p. Though neither Private Division nor Obsidian Entertainment added why PS4 Pro wouldn't support The Outer Worlds in 4K when Xbox One X will, it's worth noting that Microsoft acquired Obsidian back in 2018. That's not to say Microsoft's relationship with Obsidian is the sole reason this is happening. Again, there's been no announced official reasoning, but it's good context to have when viewing the situation. So do you have either of the enhanced consoles?
I have both.
Okay. So you have your choice of like where to get this. Do you think PS4 Pro owners could be reasonably pissed about this?
There's a couple of things I'm not entirely clear about. It says that 4K on Xbox One X and PC, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
PS4 Pro capping at 1080p.
Right.
Does regular PS4 also cap at 1080p?
Yeah, there's no
difference.
There's no difference between
the PS4 versions. And the PS4 Pro version.
Right.
I always get the Xbox when they're enhanced. I always get the Xbox One X version because, as I've said before on the show, it's one area where the Xbox is clearly superior to the PS4.
Right.
The Xbox One X version is almost always noticeably better than the PS4 Pro version.
Mm-hmm.
The PS4 Pro enhancements to me are shitty. Like Borderlands 3 on PS4 Pro is virtually unplayable in 4K resolution mode. Unplayable. Mm-hmm. You have to play in the frame rate mode.
Right.
And you'll notice that most games on PS4 Pro will give you the option: do you want to favor resolution or frame rate? Because the PS4 Pro just isn't powerful enough to do both.
The CPU limited.
Xbox One X much less often asks you to make that choice because it can actually do both.
Yeah, and that's Microsoft's entire marketing slogan for that thing is it's the best place to play third-party games.
And again, I've got both. I've played games on PS4 Pro. I've played games on Xbox One X. There's no comparison. The Xbox One X is way, way more impressive graphically. I was reading the story here and going, well, why would they make that choice? And then we got to the part about them being owned by Microsoft.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, of course it is.
Hmm. If that is the case, I feel like...
What other reason would there be? There's no other reason.
It's Obsidian, so I could reasonably see that game just not being built well enough to take advantage of both consoles. Like, they built it for... Are they built in such a way that, like, oh, well, we need the overhead, so the Xbox One X version just makes more sense to, like, enhance, and we can't do it with the PS4 Pro? That said, like, it is... I think PS4 Pro owners are fair to be pissed off about that. That they don't get the enhancements while the Xbox One X version does. Because if that is Microsoft, like, exercising some muscle or saying, like, hey, we're going to pay you to make our version better, not necessarily that make the PS4 Pro version worse, but to make our version better.
It swings and roundabouts, isn't it? I mean, look at Modern Warfare on PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. Only PlayStation 4 owners get that specific survival game mode. You know, that's exclusive to PS4 Pro for PS4 for a whole year. No one else gets that mode. And a lot of Xbox and PC players are not happy about that. Companies make decisions based on what platform they want to favor, based on a variety of factors, not all of which seem like they make sense to us, but they've got their reasons for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for me, if you said to me, if there was a game coming out on Xbox and it's not enhanced for Xbox One X, I'd be disappointed because I know the Xbox One X version would be much better.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not enhanced for PS4 Pro, I'd kind of shrug because I know that the PS4 Pro version wasn't going to be that much better to begin with. The PS4 Pro is fucking weak compared to the Xbox One X. Those PS4 mm-hmm. Pro enhanced versions, when I see Xbox One X enhanced, I go, ooh, nice, it's going to look sweet. When I see PS4 Pro enhanced, I go, eh, what compromises am I going to have? What compromises am I going to have to make to get this running the way I want it to make? Good to go, because it's like that on every game.
Mm-hmm. Do you think...
The Borderlands 3 example is really egregious. Unplayable.
Really?
In resolution mode. I don't even know why they bother putting that mode in.
Mm-hmm.
Great in frame rate mode, shitty in resolution mode.
Do you think that's a thing that like people are going to be worried about for the next like year until the next consoles come out, of third party games kind of favoring one console over the other, or one enhanced console?
No, I think I think this is an outlier. This is a story because it's weird, right? This doesn't usually happen. Usually games, if they're enhanced for one, they're enhanced for both.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this isn't is worthy of news because that almost never happens. So I think you're going to continue to see games, when they're enhanced, be enhanced on both platforms. Again, just know that I think the PS4 Pro guy's got a little bit of a raw deal. If I'd have paid an extra $100 for a PS4 Pro,
mm-hmm.
I'd honestly be a little bit disappointed in terms of the enhancements that I'm seeing, because they ain't that good.
I would make the argument that it's not that that's one issue with the PS4 Pro. The other is that you kind of need it. Like, having a base PS4 and playing a lot of modern games just doesn't really fit that well. Like, it's... Like, Control is a very good example. Like, you need to play that on the PS4 Pro, or you're going to have a much worse experience.
Right.
Do you think when you start getting into, like, discussion of next-gen consoles, that you start worrying about, well, do I buy this at launch? Am I going to have to buy a half step later or another enhanced version later?
I think that we're going to have the same thing that we have every console cycle, where, like, in the coming year, people are going to start, you know, thinking about whether or not they want to continue to invest in games for their current system, or if they want to wait for the new one. You know, mm-hmm. When you know that new system's around the corner, you become a little bit, you know, you don't want to continue to invest in games for a system that, you know, will probably be gathering dust in a few months after you've upgraded to your shiny new PS5 or whatever.
Yeah, so like the maximum value proposition for an enhanced console is to buy it at launch, which is in its own way kind of shitty.
Right.
Because like if you want the most time you're going, like the most use you're going to get out of that thing is to buy it when it's most expensive and least useful.
Yeah, and of course the weird thing is it's also when the games are the least impressive, and the games for the previous console are the most impressive, because having worked with the consoles for the current generation of consoles for the last 5 years, developers have learned through experience how to squeeze every last bit of performance out of them. So the games that... This happens every generation, every like Death Stranding, for example, which I'm sure is going to look fantastic,
mm-hmm.
is not a game that would have looked that good had it launched with the PS4, because it's taken all everything that those developers and the development community as a whole has cumulatively learned about how to get the best out of the PS4.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like the launch games for the PS5 will probably be the shittiest looking PS5 games.
They'll look like
games.
PS4 games for the most part.
No, they'll look way better. They just won't look as good as the games that are coming out several years later at the back end of the PS5 generation, once developers have learned through experience how to get every last bit of performance out of that machine.
It's usually very hard for me at launch of a new system to like not tell the difference, but like really see a discernible generational leap between a launch game versus the game at the end of the last generation.
No, I agree. Like, you know, when was the last console transition, do you think, that you remember going, holy shit, that's next gen? Like that is so clearly the next generation from what we just had.
I think MGS3 to MGS4 was the one that was like, oh man, and even MGS1 to MGS2.
You talked about Metal Gear Solid, but that was on the same. Was that on the same platform?
1 to 2 were different generations, and right? 3 to 4 were different generations.
Okay,
so like 3 to 4, because I played so much of 3 that when they showed actual in-game graphics, not like the first reveal trailer, but the actual like in-game thing, mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit, this looks amazing. But when you start seeing like, there were some PS3 launch games that were just awful looking. Like you remember back when the 360 was first showing their initial Perfect Dark footage, and they showed Wall Guy, the guy standing against the wall, and it looked like a PS2 game at the time, just a higher resolution.
Do you think when the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Scarlet come out, and we see the first real footage of these games running, will we be like Sam Neill in Jurassic Park, going? Or will we be like, yeah, that's definitely a bit better than what we had? Like, which one do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be Evolution or Revolution?
I think at the reveal, they're going to show they're going to put their best foot forward and show, like, this is the newest shit we've got.
Right.
Like, look at how much better this looks than the PS4. And granted, the PS4 and Xbox One, we launched those consoles at a very weird time in terms of, like, CPU technology.
Right.
So they were very limited by their processors. So this one should be a bit better that way. But I would assume, were I Sony, I would show that thing in February and say, here's the next Spider-Man, and here's how much better it looks. But the games that are going to come out next holiday, I don't think they're going to look that much more amazing.
And again, not to belabor the point, but the problem is, I think, why sometimes they don't look like night and day different is you're comparing the back end of, say, PlayStation 4, mm-hmm. where developers have learned every nook and cranny of that machine, and those games are as good as they're ever. There's nothing more to be squeezed out of those systems performance-wise. They've learned every trick. Compared to PlayStation 5, which is a more powerful machine, but developers are still just now getting to grips with it,
yeah.
and haven't yet learned how to like fully maximize its potential. And I think that's why. I think it's often unfair to compare the end of one generation with the beginning of another.
Right.
I think if you actually took the time to say, okay, what did the games at the end of the PlayStation 3 generation look like compared to the games at the end of the PlayStation 4 generation? That to me would be a more fair comparison.
Yeah, and also there's other reasons, like the final dev kits aren't in developer hands for a long time, so launch games are typically built on the previous generation and then like scaled
up. They all have to hit, and don't forget, those launch games all have to hit a hard date. Those games can't afford to slip.
Yeah,
they have to ship when the system ships. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of reasons why launch games, aren't. They're often, even though they're the ones that have to sell the systems, ironically, they're the ones that are not that aren't that great. Like how many? It's funny. Think about like what were the great, like Xbox One didn't launch with any really great games. Like what was the last? Remember fucking Rise, like the Roman thing and all that shit. That nobody really cared about that stuff.
Yeah. Breath of the Wild, but that's a weird example.
Xbox 360 launch lineup was terrible. Mm-hmm. Perfect Dark Zero and all of that shit. Knack? Come on!
I didn't play either Perfect Dark game until Rare Replay, and I played Perfect Dark on that thing, and I was like, I loved it. This game is fucking amazing. I can't believe I missed this game.
Nintendo aside, and I'm going to put this one in for you're wrong, and I ask you to tell me you're right. Nintendo aside, because they always have bangers at launch, mm-hmm. not including Nintendo, what was the last game that launched with a console that was an absolute banger? I'm going to put it out there. Xbox on the original. Sorry, Halo on the original Xbox.
Halo is the big one I can think of.
I reviewed Halo for the official the launch issue of the official Xbox magazine. They flew me up to Bungie and I sat in a room and played it, mm-hmm. and I reviewed that game. And that was the last time that I remember going, yeah, this is the next gen. I'm fucking blown away by this game. I don't know if that's happened since.
The PS2 had an amazing first year, but I don't remember anything at launch. PS3
had a weak lineup.
It had a weak ass lineup, yeah. I can't.
360 had a weak lineup.
Yeah, it had
Xbox
a good
One
first
had a
year.
Weak lineup.
Yeah. PS4 Killzone? Was that a launch game?
Ah, come on. if you're saying Killzone, you know your argument is bad.
True. But like
Resistance? Come on, none of these games were bangers.
Which Resistance was
Fall
that?
Of Man or whatever, the alien shooter thing. Yeah, wasn't that a PS3 launch title?
I don't think it was maybe I'm wrong. Again, people can tell me.
I think it was. You're wrong is gonna be off the hook this week.
But yeah, honestly, they do have enough They have enough stuff in the chambers for PS5 that I'm optimistic about a launch. Like, they've been talking pretty openly that, oh, Guerrilla Games is working on something, which is pretty obviously Horizon
2. Just remember that historically, consoles don't launch with great games.
Well, I mean, there's reasons for that, too. Like, we just discussed the dev kit issue, but also, that is the most expensive a console will ever be for the smallest install base.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the developers have had the least time with it.
Yeah. Let's assume that PS5 sells 5 million day one.
Yeah.
That's only 5 million people that can buy your new game.
Right.
So you want to expand that out because all 5 million people are not going to buy
it. On the one hand, you get a lot of exposure because you get caught up in all of the console launch hype.
Yeah.
And Sony will go to bat or Microsoft will go to bat highlighting your game. But you're right. It's the smallest install base they'll ever be.
Like,
that's why they often will launch... you know, there'll be a PS4 and a PS5 version. They'll try. Let's make sure that we get all of the mature user base of the previous generation. Don't forget, PS4 is going to be around for a long time. Remember how long PS2 was around for?
Was a long
really
time.
Long time.
PS3 was a good. Was it 2006? 2013.
I think they weren't they still releasing PS2 games like toward the end of the PS3 generation.
Yeah,
or even into PS4.
I want to say there were FIFA games as recently.
Yeah,
as
like
3
FIFA
years
and
ago.
Madden, like those type of games. That's another. When was the last? I don't want to ask. You're wrong. This is a good one. When was the? What was the most recent PS2 game that was released? I would love to, like, officially, but not like homebrew or something, but like a real.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it was like FIFA 17 or something like that.
I'd bet it was as recently as 2017, 2016.
Yeah.
Those would make sense.
Because people are still playing those games. They still have those consoles. Not everyone is a fucking high rolling 1% early adopter like you and me, Imran.
I was thinking about it today of already like, oh, well, I've got these Best Buy gift cards. I'll just use them for the new consoles.
Yeah.
Like, that is a long way away. But if I wanted to know what is coming to the mom and pop shops today.
Oh, I felt that one.
Where would I look?
Oh, that one gave me a stitch, Kevin.
That's a good one.
I've got a stitch in my side. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah. It's good.
Out today is Chernobylite on PC, Little Town Hero on Switch. I've seen some divisive stuff about that game.
What do you think Chernobylite is? Can you look that up, Kevin?
On it.
I would guess it's a Chernobyl.
Because I saw a trailer the other day for a Chernobyl nuclear reactor meltdown simulator that was terrifying, but it looked really interesting.
Hmm. It might be that game, yeah.
I think this is something different, but I'd like to know what this is.
On it.
Yeah, Little Town Heroes out on Switch. I had two friends. One told me, like, wow, this game... They both complained about the same boss fight that lasted them both 45 minutes.
What is Little Town Hero?
It's Game Freak's new RPG.
Okay.
So it's not like a full-scale, like, Pokemon-style thing.
All right, we're going to look at Chernobylite real quick. It's on PC. 1080p, 60 frames a second.
From Iron Video Games, which is...
No, Krone.
Krone? Oh, Krone. Okay.
Well, no.
Oh, it's... Okay.
That's the YouTube channel.
Okay, so it looks like we're exploring the... The ruins, the abandoned ruins of Chernobyl.
I'm kind of into this, actually.
Oh, it's all weird.
It got weird all of a sudden.
This is getting a little straight.
Jump forward a little bit again, Kevin. Okay, so you've got your Röntgen meter.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, I don't like this.
Your decimeter, that's what it's called.
Gary,
did you
like
watch
this.
That show, Imran?
Which one? Chernobyl?
Chernobyl.
I did not.
You should watch it. It's terrific.
Okay. What service was it on?
HBO.
Okay. I can probably watch it.
You watched it, Kevin,
that.
Right?
I watched some of it.
What is wrong with you people?
Well, Paula didn't like it. So.
Who didn't like it? Didn't like it?
My wife, Paula.
Huh. I thought it was good.
So
it's a first person creepy Chernobyl exploring thing. I might look into that.
I'm more interested in it if it doesn't involve supernatural stuff. Like, if you start including that stuff, then I'm getting a little, like, off board.
Yeah, I feel like that's interesting enough just by itself, right?
Yeah, like, there's a very Edith Finch kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Do it. All right, Musasabi is out today on PC. Ping Redux is out today on PC and Mac. Shock Rods is out today on PC. Planet Destroyer is out today on PC. And ZHEDZ is out on a puzzle game is out today on PC and Mac. New dates! The Death Stranding review embargo is up on November 1st. I can't talk about it at all, but we will talk about it on the November 1st Gamescast.
Wait, so does that mean that people are reviewing it right now?
Yes.
Does that mean you're reviewing it right now?
Yes.
Oh. Interesting.
Are you allowed to say that? I don't know.
We were allowed to say it as of 12 a.m. last night.
So as of 12 a.m. last night, you were allowed to... There was an embargo on whether or not you even were allowed
to say you have the game.
So you are now allowed to say that you have it and you're playing it.
Yes.
But you can't say how much you like it.
You can't say how you feel about it.
Not at all.
Okay.
I cannot say how I feel about it at all. I can...
Interested to talk to you once this show is over.
We will have a discussion about maybe Death Stranding. Who knows? Probably
Wait,
not.
Are you allowed
see.
To talk about it at all? Or only in public?
I don't think it... If there's a vow of secrecy on embargoes, I've never seen it enforced.
I think that, like,
they're not going to know about our private conversations.
We're both embargoed.
Except when we announce them on the show.
We're bargo buddies.
All right. All right. We'll talk about that.
Friendier after the show.
Friendier, all right.
Another new date, and this came up, I didn't put it as a news story because it was still breaking while they were still announcing it as I was putting in news.
Oh, yeah, I saw this today. I thought it was interesting. Yeah.
Analog has announced the Analog Pocket, a Game Boy variation with a high contrast screen that supports Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance, and will support Game Gear, Neo Geo Pocket Color, and links with a cartridge adapter. Will include include a dock with HDMI out for $199 in 2020.
So a lot of people are excited about this today.
Yeah, so I don't know if anyone has ever seen these things, but they're basically like, they've made like NES and SNES. Basically, they recreate the original hardware, then make it digital. So there's an HDMI out, and it will support all the original games with a cart slot. So they've done this for, like I said, the NES, the SNES.
Kevin has pulled it up right now.
Yeah.
It looks like a very
fancy.
Sleek,
That's a fancy
you know, modern redesign of the Game Boy, right?
Yeah.
It looks like
I still have my original Tetris cartridge. I might get this just to play Tetris again.
You think the battery's still alive in that bitch?
Does Tetris support battery?
What, in my Game Boy?
Yeah.
Just takes double A's.
No, I mean like
the cartridge itself.
The battery safe.
Didn't have a battery that would keep like...
High scores, I guess?
No,
idea.
Isn't it just everything?
I'm going to give it a try, though.
No. Batteries
are
only used
for saves. The look of this.
I
recall.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, I like the little dock.
Yeah. The dock is the most interesting thing to me, because I would love to, like,
this thing's really
sync
pretty.
Up any wireless 8-bit Do Bluetooth controller directly to dock for wireless play. You can also connect controllers directly via... Why wouldn't they let you connect an Xbox controller or a DualShock? It's Bluetooth. Why not?
Maybe it's a... Driver issue?
What do you like? What, black or white?
The white looks great.
Color, though.
I like the black.
Yeah.
So oh, you're yeah. About the thing? Yeah. All right. Ooh, the white.
Which one?
Really
which one
good.
Do you like, Kevin?
I mean, I'd have to go with the black, but I feel like the white looks really good too.
They both look good.
Good looking.
I actually really miss
shipping.
Like...
Go back. I want to look at the tech specs.
Sorry. I like that it looks like a clamshell.
I'm definitely gonna sign up for this.
Yeah, I miss having a portrait handheld, honestly. Like, they've all been landscapes since the SP. So I just kind of, like, want a thin thing that, like, stays in my
You know
my
what
hands.
This will probably...
It's so narrow,
this will probably be... You know what this I think this will be really good for?
Mm.
Is the aftermarket for old Game Boy. You know when you go to GameStop?
Yeah.
And they have that little case with all the shitty old Game Boy cartridges in it for, like, $2 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of people buying old... Because who has those old cartridges anymore, apart from collectors?
That's a good point, and I think I maybe still have my old Game Boy cartridges.
I wonder if they're going to do a cartridge with a micro SD slot.
Well, I was going to say, would be great is what a lot of these things do now is, you know, if you've got the cartridge, they'll let you burn the ROM onto an SD card and put like 100 games on there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to keep swapping out the cartridges.
My recollection is that the SNES at least was jailbroken, and they were able to do that. But I'm not 100% sure.
Does it have any kind of... you've clicked away from it. I just wonder if it had any kind of internal storage or an SD card slot or anything like that. Go back to the tech specs. Go up.
Yeah.
Oh, it does not... Okay, I just said it there. Go down. Analog Pocket does not play ROM files.
Boom.
It's not designed for software emulation. Okay, so you've
got to have to say
you've
that.
You've
got to
have the cartridges.
I'd be surprised if it stays that way.
Yeah. Feel programmable Gatorade. That's what you said. But they recreate the original hardware and software, basically.
So it's explicitly not emulation. So it's 100% software compatible, theoretically.
It says it has micro SD.
There you go.
But they would. Well, I wonder if they have to say it, but it's like nudge nudge wink.
That
wink.
Is my assumption.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Okay,
man,
I'm
going to
sign up for one of these. I think it looks good.
I bought the Super Nintendo one, but I'm really interested in this one too.
What does that one look like?
What are the must-have games that you would want to get for that?
For a Game Boy?
Yeah, given it also plays color and advanced games.
If it plays color, like advanced games, Castlevania is the Dawn of Sorrow, not Dawn of Sorrow, Aria of Sorrow was the first one on my list.
Yeah.
I would also really want Pokemon Kid Dracula, which is just a, you know, it's a nostalgic game for me.
Gotta Tetris. Have Tetris. Yeah. Gotta have Tetris.
Metal Gear Solid, The Ghost Babel. I would have to like really think about what kind of list I would want. Mario Land 1 and 2.
You know what I need to do is I need to look up a list of like the 20 greatest Game Boy games.
Yeah.
Or including Color and Advance, because this will play all of them.
Yeah, this is crazy that it will play all these. I mean, it looks like you need some sort of adapter for...
Yeah.
Which, well, for Game Gear and others, I don't care about... Who wants to play Atari Lynx games, for fuck's sake?
You know, I don't know.
Lemmings. Lemmings is the Lynx game. But yeah, that looks cool. Like, Neo Geo Pocket Color is the one I'm interested in for the adapter, because I have fond memories of Capcom versus SNK on that.
It's just so
Go back up. What is that about the audio thing? It says, go down. Pocket has a digital audio workstation built in called Nanoloop, synthesizer and a sequencer designed for music creation and performance. That's an interesting feature.
That's really cool. So for you know, those like Mega Rand and his friends.
Yeah, I know some people who would be very into that.
I like this a lot. I think between the Switch Lite and next year, this and don't forget the Playdate.
Yeah,
handheld gaming is going to be where it's at.
Yeah,
2020, the year of handheld gaming.
The year of looking down at a screen.
Yeah.
All right, quickly, deal of the day is Control. It's $33.74 at Amazon. If you've not picked up Control yet, you can pick it up on PS4 and Xbox
One.
That's
cheap. That's like half price.
We have reader mail, but we will get to it in a second. First, I want to talk to you a little bit about Brooklinen. You spend one-third of your life in sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? So when you sleep, sleep well. On hotel-quality sheets that don't cost an arm and a leg, Brooklinen sheets are named the winner of the Best of Online Bedding category by Good Housekeeping. They have raving reviews of Business Insider, Apartment Therapy, and Men's Health. They have 35,000 five-star reviews, more than any other online bedding company, and 500,000 happy sleepers and counting. These are luxury bed sheets, towels, and bedding without the luxury markup that you would get from other companies that mark them up as much as 300%. Brooklinen was the first DTC bedding company, meaning they worked directly with manufacturers and then directly with consumers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. Sheets don't just feel great, but they look great too. Mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. Greg's Brooklinen sheets are the most comfortable sheets he's ever slept on. Their towels have turned Tim's bathroom into a spa. Kind of funny, couldn't recommend them more. For friends, family, or treating yourself to the upgrade you deserve, Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product and all their sheets, covers, and towels that they come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. Now, we also want to thank Manscaped, supporting the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show. They are the number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Halloween is right around the corner, and you don't want to spook someone with your scary bush. You might be Chewbacca, Bigfoot, or a hairy bear, but it's what's under the costume that really matters. Greg and Tim are using Manscaped, and they look at each other yesterday in the office and were like, looking good, man. Don't be that hairy guy. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 2.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find your electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 2.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your pumpkins. You can also create less mess by trimming in the shower. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits, while you're not putting a deodorant on the smelliest part of your body. The Perfect Package 2.0 also includes anti-chafing performance boxer briefs that keep your package cool and smelling fresh all day. For on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. It's time to get clean and mean with the Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Stay sexy this Halloween. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com and use code GAMES. And finally, escape the invasion. Ever wonder what you'd do if you found yourself in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world that's been ravished by a deadly virus inflicted by aliens? Looking for a unique date or game night that gets you off your devices and truly interacting with each other? You've got to check out this game called Escape the Invasion. It's all about immersive experiences, and they just announced the launch of their new post-apocalyptic themed subscription box. For the makers of Hunt a Killer, the popular true crime mystery subscription game, comes Escape the Invasion, the sci-fi game where you are a survivor on a rapidly dying Earth after an alien invasion. You find refuge in a government bunker. But is it safer than the outside world? Can you trust your fellow survivors? You think you're safe now that you've found refuge, but there's a council that creates and controls every aspect of life in the bunker. What will you choose, freedom or safety? With Escape the Invasion, you will receive a box of clues, physical items, and evidence each month. It's up to you to piece it all together, solve the mystery, and save humanity. Not everything is as it seems in this challenging game where you must decide who to trust. Your decision will determine the fate of the story, the bunker, and maybe even humanity itself. It's been called an escape room delivered to your door where Fallout meets Alien. Escape the Invasion is a great way to get off your phones and connecting with friends. Or if you prefer a solo adventure, you can interact with the online community to swap theories and help each other out. High-quality handcrafted clues get you lost in the post-apocalyptic world and make you feel like humanity is in your hand. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. That's escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. Escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames. Can you survive the alien apocalypse? That is a lot of words.
Can you do your scrote with that manscaper?
I'd assume so.
Because that's always the trickiest area, isn't it?
That's what it's for.
Yeah.
It can do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd assume that's the whole point.
I might have to ask Greg if he can hook me up with a free one. Because I would give it a try.
I've looked at it. What is it called? The actual shaving.
Yeah. Thing,
and it's instead of having two blades, it's got one blade and then a plastic blade that moves. So that's the part that if it nicks you, it doesn't cut you.
Yeah, because your balls are all like saggy and it's one thing shaving your face where there's like bone structure there to keep
there's
it
wrinkles
solid.
There.
But when it's just a big jiggly jangly bag of balls, how do you do that? Is it that's what this is designed to do?
Uh-huh.
Can we make the title for this big jiggly bag of balls?
bag o balls.
Like not what we're talking about, just kind of funny games daily. Big jig jang gig. I can't even say it now.
Jiggly jangly bag of balls.
You know?
Maybe not.
Anybody want bacon?
This, by the way, has this been made into KFAF content yet? And if not, why not?
No.
I think Nick and Andy should shave each other's gonads.
God. I mean, extra life is soon.
Pixelate it. I mean, you know, you can make it legit.
Can you do on the fly censorship?
Can you do live pixelation?
Yeah.
I'm sure I can figure it out.
Yeah. Just like we'll hold up a sign. I mean, somebody will hold up a sign, not me. I don't want to be anywhere near this. But yeah. Questions. We got Trent from VA. At what point will we have enough different forms for Kanto Pokemon? So, Gary, they introduced... Last time we talked about Pokemon a little bit. Today, they had a new video for Pokemon that showed older Pokemon now being giant size in this new game.
Yeah, I saw that if you have Pokemon Let's Go...
Right.
Then you can gigantify your Pikachu or your Eevee, depending on what kind of game that you have in the new Pokemon game, Sword and Shield, right?
Yeah, so they made Meowth Long Cat. He is literally just Long Cat. He's a very long cat.
Okay.
Pikachu is Fat Pikachu again.
Right.
And Eevee is just a very angry Eevee.
Right.
But this Trent is asking, don't get me wrong, I love that Game Freak gives attention to Pokemon that have long fallen out of the competitive meta with updates to Weezing and Ponyta, but I'd give those up in a heartbeat if it meant Charizard stopped getting new forms. The Kanto fatigue seems to keep growing in the Pokemon fandom, but Game Freak keeps chugging. At what point is it more than enough? Thanks for reading my rant, Trent.
I can't have an informed opinion on this.
So, okay, as somebody who's like kind of on the outside looking in.
Oh, look at Gigantamax Meowth.
It is straight up Long Cat.
His new move is G-Max Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Can I see the Gigantamax Eevee? Because that's the one that we'll have. Because we have Pokemon Let's Go Eevee at home.
Yeah, I think that's the one I have as well.
I don't have. Okay, give me a second.
Yeah. Look on the left.
It's right there. Top left. There it is.
Third from the top.
I imagine it's this
one. That looks like the least impressive one, though.
It's got just a beard.
Like, Pikachu and Meowth look like kaiju versions of themselves.
Like, Eevee looks like straight-up Super Saiyan Eevee.
Charizard looks cool.
It's got some kind of, like, red energy going around his ear.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is like, what is it? I can't remember what it's called, but, like, is it Kamehameha? No.
Ultra Instinct?
No, yeah, no. Before that, it was before he went Super Saiyan. It was times 20 or something.
Kaioken
times 20.
Yes.
You know where he had like a little red glow?
Hmm. Yeah, that like it is Kaioken Eevee. I think is the accepted name. It is the canon name. But yeah, as an outsider looking in, do you prefer when a game series gets like they go back to their more traditional roots, or do you want them to constantly keep like making new things instead?
I don't know. It's a tough one with Pokemon, isn't it? Because Pokemon has got a long history. And I think sometimes it's nice when they when you've got a very deep lore and a very long history and players that have been with you for all that time and remember like the OG Pokemons. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice to go to go back into history and kind of resurrect things. And oh, you haven't seen this in a long time. It's back. That's kind of cool. But you can do new stuff too. You know, why not do a little bit of both? Is Gigantamax, is that a thing? Is that a Pokemon?
They do
thing?
A new thing every generation like this. Of like, okay, well now we just have like the we brought old Pokemon and gave them new forms. So this is the new thing for this game is that they make them larger. And they take a more like kaiju like form, but yeah.
Right. Okay.
Dumb.
My kid's gonna love it.
You got to start buying Gigantamax giant plushes too.
Yeah.
They're only gonna be slightly bigger, you know?
Yeah. Squad up! Lucas from is playing on the Xbox One under the tag Kawi Gon Jin, like Qui-Gon Jin, but it's Q-A-W-H-I. Oh. I need help clearing out some weekly bounties and getting my gear up for the raid. I would love to add more people to my circle and help others out. I'm usually on at around 5:30 Eastern.
It might be useful to know if he told us what game he was playing.
I assume by when they say raid, they mean Destiny.
Destiny 2?
Yeah. But raid is actually a very... Pokemon is using the word raid now. Whoa. Pokemon Sword and Shield. So who knows? All right, now we look at You're Wrong, where you guys tell us what we got wrong during the show. All right, let's look through this a little bit.
Let's see if we get an answer on what was the last PS2 game released. Mm-hmm. What was the most recent game?
Anthro Metal does say Imran and Gary, you both look fantastic today. That's not a You're Wrong. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Editorializing there.
The Analog Pocket does not include the dock for the $200 price.
No, you pay extra for that. I think that's fine.
That's a little I want to use
Would
that
you
to stream
want the
games.
Dock?
Yeah, I want to stream GBA games.
Okay. Yeah, so, for streaming it will definitely be good. Yeah.
Because like I've been trying to figure out a solution for like how do I do that with like the GameCube and like
I go home I'm gonna sign up for that thing. I like the idea of that gadget.
Yeah.
Do you think the Nintendo is gonna do a Game Boy Classic at some point?
No, I think the point of those things is to be super cheap, and once you start putting a screen into it, it stops being super cheap.
I wonder if they could find a way to do it on the super cheap.
Yeah, I think like. An add-on for like an SNES Classic or something like that, like a Super Game Boy Classic, would actually be cool.
I mean, look, if you can make a Switch Lite for $200 with a really high-quality screen and a lot of hardware in it, why can't you make a Game Boy Classic for half that with a shittier screen and shittier internals?
Because they want more profit from it. So like a $60 NES Classic is like... I don't know the exact breakdown, but I'm guessing it's...
Yeah, I mean, the real answer is something that we can't fathom, which is can they build it and make a profit from it. We don't know what that would entail.
Yeah.
But I bet you if they can, they will.
Yeah. And like...
And there'd be a big market for it.
For like a handheld console too, you also want to make it more durable than the...
There's three truly classic game Nintendo systems. The NES, the Super NES, and the Game Boy. Would you agree?
Yeah. Truly classic, yes.
If we're saying top tier Nintendo systems, mm-hmm. S tier, it's those three. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put anything else up there, would you?
In terms of formative, GameCube was up there for me, but in terms of like objectively, you're probably right.
Yo, Imran, I'm with you.
Yeah. GameCube, like the Wind Waker and all that, like I remember staying home from school to play that.
Yeah, but it's not it's objectively it's not god tier.
Objectively, it does not have as many like good or amazing games as the other consoles.
I don't know, guys. Minority Report on GameCube was pretty good.
That is true. Where would you place the Switch, honestly?
Switch right now, it's hard to say because
it's still current. Yeah,
but I actually think that it could end up on that S tier with the other three.
I've had friends like industry analysts say like they think it's up there with the SNES in terms of Nintendo consoles.
Oh yeah, I mean so here's what I would do. S tier currently, mm-hmm. NES, SNES, Game Boy. When you say Game Boy, do you include the whole Game Boy
family? No, you'd include Game Boy Color.
Or do you separate them out? Okay, no, Game Boy Advance.
You've got to separate them out, right?
Do you?
Yeah, because like eventually the Game Boy Color games would not... Would they always
Well, let's do it. Okay, so let's do it. Top tier, NES, SNES, original classic Game Boy. Is there anything else you would put in there?
DS.
No!
Yes, absolutely. DS had some of the best games of that generation.
I mean, the DS library is... Insane.
Yes.
Insane.
Original DS, not 3DS or anything.
Yeah, original DS.
You'd put DS on that same tier?
Yes.
All right, I'm open to that. Next tier down, 3DS?
3DS is the next tier down. 3DS,
Not like Game Boy Color?
3DS and Game Boy Color, I would say share.
I would put Game Boy Color and Advance on that next tier.
Because like, when I think of Game Boy Color, I think of Pokemon Crystal, Metal Gear Solid, and Link's Awakening. And I'm trying to struggle to think of other amazing games for that, like, that subset. Like, Kevin, can you think of any?
No.
It's those three, right? But...
I mean, I was never a big Game Boy person.
Yeah.
I would also put...
Tetris for me.
I put GBA above Game Boy Color, but I don't know that I put it in the same tier as, like, the higher ones.
Here's the one where I get confused. Where do you go with GameCube and N64? How do you rank those?
I don't think they're comparable. I think GameCube is way better than the N64.
I agree. I think the N64 was a bad system.
I don't know that I go as far as bad, but I don't... When I think of N64, I think, like...
There are almost no N64... Apart from Super Mario World... Wait, what was it? Super Mario 64.
64.
There are almost no N64 games that you want to go back and play.
There's Ocarina. Well, Ocarina's been remade, I would say, better for the 3DS.
Right.
Majora's Mask, probably the same thing. But there are people who like really like those diehard. In that the N64 had, like, I want to say 10 absolute must-have classic games. And then a bunch of, okay, this is pretty good. It had, like, the Buck Bumble theme. That's all right. But other than that, it's...
I agree with the top tier.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the second tier, 3DS and the other Game Boys.
Yeah.
Next, I would go GameCube. And I think that kind of sits by itself. Is there anything else you would put on the same tier as the GameCube? Because I don't think N64 belongs on the same tier.
If we're excluding Switch for right now, yeah, I would.
Switch, I feel like, is just waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I had to put it somewhere right now, I'd put it top tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had to put it somewhere right now, I'd put it top tier.
It brought Nintendo back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big time.
You know what I mean? Like, the big Wii time. And Wii U are such
It will go down in history as one of the best systems they've ever made. There's no question.
I agree with that. I actually 100% forgot about the Wii, but I would put Wii...
Because we're waiting to put that at the bottom.
Honestly, I would put Wii next to GameCube. Hold on a minute. We're not talking about the console concepts.
Chat is... I guarantee you right now, Kevin, chat is going fucking nuts.
We're talking about
the library. Ranking things.
We're talking about the library, and the Wii had a bunch of very good games.
What did?
The Wii.
The Wii had shovelware.
The Wii had a lot of shovel. We're not talking about ratio. If we're talking about ratio, then we put the NES down there,
too. The Wii did
too.
Have good games. The Wii did have what I still personally say is the best Mario game ever made. Super Mario Galaxy.
One or two.
I prefer one, but they're both up there.
Yeah. I can agree.
Super Mario Galaxy is still my personal favorite Mario game ever made.
Yeah.
And like, it's on the Wii.
I think people don't give the Wii enough credit.
But
because
what else? Okay, what are the other great games on the Wii?
I really like Skyward Sword. I know it's one of the least liked Zeldas. I really like that game. It's what has my favorite Silent Hill, Shattered Memories.
Okay.
It had a bunch of like smaller experimental stuff from like developers.
What was the Zelda game that launched with the Wii?
Twilight Princess. Yeah. Also, I'm not a huge Twilight Princess fan. A lot of people like they're very into that game. I'm not super into it myself.
Yeah.
But I would put Wii next to GameCube. I wouldn't put it in the top tier.
I think that's mad.
Well, Q9, we're already.
Well, no, it's not even close to top tier.
You're already getting angry, and you're not even there for my Wii U defense yet. So.
I want to hear it. I want to hear all of it.
But I do think Wii had a lot of great games. The ratio was not good.
The shovelware really, really dragged it down.
Guy
Fieri's cooking challenge and all that bullshit.
Yeah. But I mean, also, if we're going to have that argument, we're going to have it about the NES, too. Because NES also had
there was
shit.
A lot of shit on
and
the NES.
And the GBA and the Game Boy.
That's true. Anytime you have a super successful system, and let's not forget the Wii, you couldn't even buy it.
Yeah.
You couldn't even get it in the stores for 6 months. It was massively, it was selling like shit off a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that comes a lot of people.
Shit off a shovel.
Which apparently sells like super well.
I like that one, yeah.
Yeah, anytime there's a system, there's a massive install base, people are going to put out whatever shit they can for it. And you're right, there was a lot of shit on the NES.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of shit on every Nintendo system, apart from the ones that didn't sell very well, and then people didn't bother.
Okay.
Let's put the shovelware aside, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in order for you to really make an argument for the Wii,
right,
you have to come up with five truly great games.
Two Galaxies.
The Two Galaxies, I'll give you those.
I will throw in Zelda.
Which one?
Skyward Sword.
Okay.
Shattered Memories, Silent Hill.
Okay.
Paper Mario on that?
There was Super Paper Mario.
Yeah, I love that game.
Well, Paper Mario was really more, it was a GameCube title.
That was in your door
That franchise. If you're going to start talking about which games
Which consoles can all claim which games? You got to give Super Paper Mario to the GameCube.
I had a Wii and I played Super Paper Mario.
No, it was never released for GameCube. It was shown for the first time on GameCube.
Wait, what? Paper Mario wasn't
Paper
on
Mario
GameCube?
1 was SD4. Paper Mario Thousand Year Door was GameCube. Super Paper Mario was Wii.
Wait, so what? Which system had the first Paper Mario?
N64.
Is that right?
Yes.
Holy shit! I don't remember that at all.
We're all very old, Gary.
Which is the best Paper Mario game?
Thousand Year Door.
And that is the GameCube version, right? Yes. Okay, so there you go.
If you're gonna
assign Paper Mario to any system, you have the best games on the GameCube. So GameCube claims that one.
I don't entirely agree, but I will say that I think Wii has the best Rhythm Heaven. Rhythm Heaven Fever.
Okay.
Also, shout outs to Wii Sport.
Wii Sport was good.
Wii Sports brought the family together.
It brought the family together, and it was also like a show-off game of like, let's play tennis, and like tennis was fucking fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, golf was also fun too.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I think there's gonna be a number of Sonic fans that are gonna be mad at me, but I think the best Sonic game of the last, let's say, 15 years was on Wii, Sonic Colors. Also, Chad is apparently going nuts about your N64 snub.
The N64, I understand, there's a lot of nostalgia value for it. Mm-hmm. But as I've said many times before, like as with the PlayStation 1, those consoles that took the first faltering steps into the 3D world.
Yes.
That stuff is, go back and look at it now, it is fuzzy,
it doesn't age well.
It is shitty, it does not look good.
I could still go back and play Mario 64 and still have a great time with
it. I would say the N64 and the PlayStation 1 are the two consoles that have aged the worst over the years. Mm-hmm. In terms of, when you go back and look at those games now, they are ugly as fuck.
They are absolutely ugly as fuck. Like, graphical technology, they don't compete. But, like, in terms of design stuff, like I played Banjo-Kazooie just a couple of years ago on Rare Replay. It was fine. It wasn't my kind of game, but it was fine. There are N64 games that I will.
There are certain things you have to give credit to the N64.
Yes,
Super Mario 64 reinvented was an absolute watershed moment in games.
Right,
it made 3D in games viable in a way that had never been imagined possible before. Mm-hmm. I remember still being. I was editor-in-chief of PC Gamer. We had Next Generation magazine down the hallway. And we would go into, and I could hear the people mm-hmm. from Next Generation going, holy shit, what the fuck? And I was like, what's going on? I went and they were playing Super Mario 64 for the first time. Mm-hmm. And they'd never seen anything
this
like it.
It's crazy.
I remember looking at it going, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like we had never seen it. Now we take it for granted. But Super Mario 64 was the progenitor.
Yes.
And we got a lot of shitty clones. We had Bubsy 3D and all the bad shit that came out after it. But Super Mario 64 showed what was possible.
I mean, almost every 3D game today has Mario 64 to owe to like what they are today.
I'll also give a shout out to the N64 controller. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I love the N64 controller.
Mean that. You don't
I do.
No.
Yeah.
No
I do.
Way.
I do.
You're joking.
No, I liked it.
On that note,
hold
Gary
on, we're not done yet.
We're not done yet, but I think someone else has to record a show after this.
Are we getting pushed out?
Yeah.
We will next time you and I host together.
Can we agree that Wii is on the bottom tier though?
No. I'd say
what do you think?
Like Virtual Boy is bottom tier.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, that's trash tier, but like, where do you put the Wii U?
I would put Wii U alongside N64 in that it had a number of very good games, but it was overall a crappy system.
Right. Okay. And you would put Wii above the Wii U?
Yes.
All right. Like, so you would put Wii U on the bottom tier,
with N64. But I mean, at the same time, I'd also like. There were good games on there like Splatoon, like Mario 3D World, like Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Those were fine games. It just the Wii U had one good game every 3 months. That's the problem.
Yeah. The Wii U was not great.
Yeah.
But it was, as I've said many times, it was the system that was necessary
for the
to get us
to
the Switch. Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh. It was the important stone to trip on. Gary Whitta, thank you for coming. Thank you for hosting with me and arguing with me about Nintendo systems.
I'll see you next time.
See you next time.